Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Yud Amar Aleph of Maseches Sota. We're holding about 10 lines into the page on Daf Yud Amar Aleph, and we're in the middle of discussing Shimshon. So Shimshon marries a Plishti woman, and because of when time passed, her father gives her to another man and does not allow Shimshon to be with her. So Vayelech Shimshon Vayilkod Sholosh Meos Shualim. So the pasuk describes, the Navi describes that Shimshon went and he captured 300 foxes and he tied them in pairs by their tails and he sent them out into the Plishti fields and they burnt down the Plishti vineyards and the Plishti fields. So says the Gemara, you know, it's an odd way of punishing the Plishtim. Maishna Shualim, of all animals to use to punish them, why did he dafka choose foxes to be able to burn down their fields? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Aivu Bar Negdi, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Shimshon. Shimshon said to himself, Yovo mi shechozu la'achorav v'yifra mi plishtim shechazru b'shvuasan. Let the fox come, that when they chase him, he doesn't run very far, he just goes back to where he came from, and he runs in circles around, to avoid his enemy. So let that, that's the nature of that animal, let that animal be the one that pays back the plishtim who went back on their shvua, that their grandfather, Avimelech, promised Avram Avinu that they weren't going to start up with Klal Yisrael, and they violated that Shavua. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Shimon HaChassid, Bein Kseifav Shal Shimshon, between Shimshon's shoulders, the width of his body was Shishim Amahaya. He was massive. It was 60 Amos. Shenemar, Pasuk says, when he went to Aza, the Plishtim wanted to capture him, and they locked the doors in order that he shouldn't be able to run away. Vayishkav Shimshon at Chatz Alayla, that he slept until halfway through the night in Aza, vayakom bechati alayla, and he got up halfway through the night, vayechos bedalsos shareir uvishtei amezuzos, and he grabbed the doors of the gate of the city and the two doorposts, vayaseim imabriach, and he uprooted them with the lock, vayosem al ksefav, and he placed them on his shoulders, ugamiri, and we have a tradition, dein dalsos aza b'chusos mishishimama, that the doors of Aza are no less than 60 amos, so if he carried them on his shoulders, his shoulders must have been 60 amos. And the pasuk tells us when the Plishtim captured Shimshon and put him in jail, vayhi tochein beveis ha'asurim, he was tochein in the jail. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein tchina elo lashon aveira. Tochein normally means to grind. Over here, it means a lashon of aveira. Where do we find that it's a lashon of aveira? V'cheinu amer. In the pasuk in Iyov, it says, titchan la'achar ishti. They were so impressed with Shimshon's natural strength that each guy would bring his wife to the jail so that Shimshon could sleep with his wife and that and his wife would be impregnated by this strong, mighty man, hoping that they would have, that their children or those who would think that their children would have these, would be massive, would have these incredible genes. Amar Rav Papa, that's what people say. Kamid deshasei chamra chamra, kamid rovka gidaya duvla. When for people who drink wine, they bring wine. For people who work the ground, they plant the ground, meaning they eat vegetables. They give a basket full of vegetables, meaning everyone gets opportunities to do what he's used to. And since Shimshon slept with women, with Plishti women, so now he had this opportunity for all of the Plishti women. So the Gemara tells us, "Vamar Rabbi Yochanan, kol mezane ishto mezanen es halav." Someone who is mezane, his wife will be mezane. His wife will cheat on him. Shneamar im nifta libi alisha ve'al pesach rei oravti uksiv titchan la'achar ishti v'alda yichru unacherun. V'ahenu damriin she ihu bekari v'itzei bebutzini. That he thinks he's up to some secretive behaviors. Whatever he's interested in doing, his wife is probably doing the same thing. So he's interested in. The expression is in one type of melon, and his wife is having other melons. It's just an expression, meaning he's involved in immoral behavior. His wife is probably doing the same thing. Now we bring other drashas from Rabbi Yochanan about Shimshon. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Shimshon don es Yisrael kaviyim shebashamayim. Shimshon judged the Jewish people righteously, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu would judge the Jewish people kaviyachol. Shnemar don yodin amo ka'achad, that he judged his nation ka'achad, like the echad, like the one, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Shimshon al Shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra. Shimshon is actually called after the name of Hashem. Shnemar ki Shemesh u'magin Hashem Elokim v'gomer. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a Shemesh and a Magin. So says Gemara El Me'ata, if Shemesh is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yimache, then it should be usher to erase the word Shemesh, if it's really a name of Hashem. Elamein Shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mean that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actual proper name, but it's similar to a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that he's called Hashem Shumagin doesn't mean to say that it's Mamish, the name of Hashem, but Shimshon is called by similar titles. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Megin HaKalom Kulo, Av Shimshon, Megin Bidoro, Ali Yisrael. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the entire world, so too Shimshon and his generation protected the Jewish people. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Bilam, Chigar Baraglo Achasoya, Shenem Ravayelch Shefi, Shimshon Chigar B'Shtei Raglav Hayash Shnemar Shfifa Nali Arech. Bilam was lame in one leg; he was unable to walk on both legs, and Shimshon was unable to walk on either one of his legs. Tan Rabban Chamisha Nivru Umein Dugma Shel Maila. There were five people that were created with some extraordinary characteristic, extraordinary talent that was like Dugma Shel Maila, was like a godlike talent. V'kulon Nakubehen, and they were all punished with the thing that they had that made them so unique. Shimshon Bekocho. Shimshon had this great koach, and ultimately he suffered because of that koach. Shaul Bitzavaro. Shaul was extremely tall, taller than everybody else, and because of that he suffered with his neck. Avshalom Bisaaro. Avshalom had this incredible, beautiful hair, and ultimately that was his undoing. Tzidkia Be'inav had incredible eyes, and ultimately he suffered because of that. And the Gemara is going to elaborate on each one. And Asa Biraglav, Asa the Melech Yehuda, had unusual raglayim, unusual legs, and ultimately he suffered because of that. So now the Gemara elaborates on each one of these things. Shimshon b'kocho d'chsev v'yasar kocho me'alav. Shimshon ultimately suffered because of his koach, because the pasuk tells us that after Delilah gave him the haircut, he lost his koach. Shaul b'tzavaro d'chsev. Where do we find Shaul's undoing? Because of his neck, because in the war that he was killed, that Shaul HaMelech was killed in, the Plishtim didn't want, Shaul didn't want that the Plishtim should mock him, should make a mockery out of him, and should capture him. And so he asked his Nosei Kelev, he asked his assistant to kill him so that he wouldn't fall in the hands of the Plishtim. And his Nosei Kelev refused to do it. So the pasuk says, Vayikach Shaul es hacherev, Vayipal aleho, that he fell on his sword to kill himself, to commit suicide. So probably he committed suicide by cutting his neck, because that would be the best way to commit suicide. So that's how you see that his undoing, his downfalls with his neck. Avshalom b'sa'aro, where do we find Avshalom's downfalls with his hair? Kedvinu l'meimer, come on, like we're going to say later on. Tzidkiyahu be'enav, and Tzidkiyahu's downfalls with his eyes, d'chsiv is eni Tzidkiyahu iver, that he was blinded in his eyes. And asa b'raglav, d'chsiv rak le'isik naso, chola es raglav, that in his old age, his feet, his legs got ill. V'am ravidom rav, shachzatu padgara, he had a certain disease that was called Padgaro, which was a disease of the legs. Now, Amar Lemar Zutra Bered Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman, Hechidami Padagro, what exactly is the nature of this disease? Amar Le, Kemachat Bebasar Achai. It's so painful, it's like a needle in raw flesh. Minayada, how does Rav Nachman know what it feels like? Ikadami Mechashav Chashbe, some say he suffered from this very disease. Vikadami Mirabe Shmele and Shamele, some say that he had a tradition from his Rebbein, what it felt like. The Ikada Amri Soda Shem Lireyav Uvriso Lahodiam. And some say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just sometimes lets things be known to those who fear him. So this was one of these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed this knowledge to be given to Rav Nachman. Dorosh Rava, Mipnei Ma Nenash Asa, why was Asa punished that he suffered this disease of the legs? Mipnei Sha'asa Ingarya B'Tamidei Chachamim, because he forced Tamidei Chachamim to work to do their contribution to the king. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, V'Hamelech Asa Ishmias Kol Yehuda Ein Naki, no one was free from paying their taxes to the king. My Ein Naki, Amar Avidam Rav, Afilu Chasen Mechadro V'Chal the kala mechupasa. He would even take a chasen and kala during the week of Sheva Brachos, during the time of their wedding, and make them do their taxes, make them do whatever it is that they have to do for the king, whether it was a volunteer work or no, I mean not volunteer, required work that they had to do, or paying money, taxes. No one was exempt. So the Gemara now goes back to discuss Shimshon. So before we go back to discuss Shimshon, just the main point over here is that there were five people. The Gemara lists five people that had something absolutely exceptional about them, and each one their exceptional midah proved to ultimately be their downfall. So now we go back to Shimshon. Ksiv vayeri Shimshon Timnasa. Pasuk says that Shimshon went down to Timna. So it sounds like Timna's in a low elevation. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says by Yehuda that hine chamich ola Timnasa, that Tamar was told that her father-in-law was ola Timnasa, went up to Timna. Sounds like it was at a high elevation. So which was it? So Amar Ablazar, Shimshon Shenizgana Baksiv Ba Yirida, Yehuda Shenizala Baksiv Ba Aliyah. One resolution is that it's the Aliyah in Yerida is not a reference to its elevation, but it's a reference to the types of actions that were done in these stories. So Shimshon had a downfall there, and therefore it's called the Yerida. But the Yehuda had an Aliyah there because that's where Peretz and Zarach were born, and Melachim and Nevi'im came from them. So it was called an Aliyah. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni says, no, Shtei Timnos Hayu. The resolution is much simpler. There were two places called Timna, Chadab Yerida v'Chadab Aliyah. One was in a low elevation, one was in a high elevation. If Papa Amar, a third possibility. Chadab Timna Havai, there was only one Timna. Da'asi Mehai Gisa Yerida, Da'asi Mehai Gisa Aliyah. It was at a moderate elevation, depending which direction you come from. It's like halfway down the mountain. If you're coming from the bottom of the mountain, you go up to Timna. If you're coming from the top of the mountain, you go down to Timna. Kugon Vardonya Ube Bari Vishuka Denarash. Just like these other places that are also in the middle of a mountain, and depending on which direction you're coming from, it could be that you're going down or that you're going up. Once the Gemara mentions the story of Tamar, it's going to explain a number of psukim related to the story of Tamar. So before we get to that, second main point over here, there seems to be a stira in psukim whether Timna is a low place or a high place. Three resolutions to the stira. One is that it was a low place spiritually for Shimshon and a high place spiritually for Yehuda. A second resolution is that there were two places called Timna. And the third resolution is that it was at the middle of a mountain. So if you're coming from below, it's going up. And if you're coming from the top of the mountain, it's going down. Vateshev bepesach einayim. And the Pasuk says that Tamar sat bepesach einayim. Amar Rabbi Alexandri Melamed Shalcha v'yashola bepischo shel Avram Avinu. She sat by the doorway of Avram Avinu. Makom shekol einayim tzofos l'roso. Where people would always come to see him, meaning he was able to be mekabel orchem. He was able to greet guests from that location. Rabbi Chanan Amar, Rabbi Makom Hu Sheshmo Einayim. That no, there was a place called Einayim. Chenu Amar Tapuach Ve'Einam. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Shenasna Einayim L'Dvareha. That she gave a sort of a heter for herself. That there's no avera in having bia with Yehuda. What sort of heter did she have? Kishetava, when Yehuda propositioned her, Amar La, she said Shemanach Resat. Amar La, he said to her, how do I know I could sleep with you? Maybe you're a non-Jew. Jewish woman. Amrele, she said, Gyorasani, don't worry, I've converted. I don't do Avodah Zarah anymore, and therefore I'm mutter to you. Shem Eshes Ishat, but maybe you're a married woman. Amrele, she said, Pnuyani, don't worry, I'm a single girl. Shem Akibul Bachavich Kiddushin, maybe while you were still a katana, your father accepted Kiddushin for you. Amrele, Yisoma, and he said, I don't have a father, I'm a Yisoma. Shem Atmeyat, maybe you're a Nida. Amrele, Tahora, Ani, no, I'm Tahora, I'm not a Nida at all. So the next main point over here is that we have several explanations of what it means that Tamar sat bepesach einayim. Either it was where Avram Avinu was able to greet people from, or it was a place called Einayim, or it's what Tamar was explaining to Yehuda, that she was mutter to him, and she had an answer for every reason why she might be usher to him. Now, once we mention the Owel of Avram Avinu, the Gemara explains what Avram Avinu used to do in order to greet guests. Vayita ishal bever sheva. Amar ishal lakish, melami chasa pardes, v'natabo kol mine megadim. He had an orchard, and he planted all sorts sorts of sweet fruits there. Rav Yehuda, Rav Nechamia, chad amar pardes, v'chad amar pundak. One says that it was a pardes, it was an orchard, and the other one says that he made like an inn. And eshel is a rashi tevos of achila, shtia, and levaya, which Avram Avinu would give the guests to eat. He would give them shtia, he'd give them to drink, and then you'd be melave them. So bishlam lemandi amar pardes hanu dechsev vayita. So if you say that it's an orchard, I understand why eshel would be an orchard. It says vayita, that he planted. Elamandi amar pundak, but if he just made a hotel, my vayita, why would you call that planting? So kedechsev vayita ole apadno. That you see that building an ohel is also called vayita. So that's what vayita eshel is about. So the Gemara explains why Avram Avinu did all this. Vayikrasham b'shem Hashem kel olam. Amar Eish Lakish al tikri vayikra. Don't say that it's just Avram Avinu himself calling out the Shem Hashem. Ela vayakri. It means that he caused others to call out the Shem Hashem. Melamed shehikri Avram Avinu l'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu bepeh kol over v'shav. That Avram Avinu taught everyone who passed by the Shem Hashem. Ketzad la'achar sha'achlu v'shasu amdu l'varcho. After they ate and drank, they wanted to bless Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu would respond to them. He said, "V'chi mishali achaltem? Do you think you ate from my food? Mishali elokei olam achaltem? You ate from the food of God. Hodu v'shimchu v'aruchu." So they thanked God and they praised God and they blessed God. The Misham Rabbi Olam. Instead of making Avram Avinu the source of their hakaras hatov, they made the Ribbono Shel Olam the source of their hakaras hatov. And that's exactly the kind of kiruv that Avram Avinu did. So main point over here is that we have that Avram Avinu planted two explanations of what it means that Avram Avinu planted an eshel. Either it means an orchard with all sorts of fruits, or it means a place of achila, shtia, levaya, a hotel. And either way, it's how we got people to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, we'll stop there. Next time we'll do Daf Yud Amud Beis.